Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Michigan is getting old. Our population now older than 80% of all other U.S. states. To address all the related issues that we'll be dealing with as a result, Michigan State University's College of Osteopathic Medicine will establish a statewide division of geriatric medicine, creating a network of osteopathic geriatric fellowships in the state. To talk about the initiative, I'm joined by Carol Monson. She's the acting chairperson of the Department of Family and Community Medicine. Welcome to the program, Dr. Monson.
Thank you.
Now, it seems that the medical needs of the elderly are so multifaceted and involve every aspect of the deterioration of human health. What kinds of things will the Division of Geriatric Medicine focus on?
Actually, we want to focus on our patients' health, and we will be approaching our geriatric fellowships with a concept known as optimal aging. And that essentially means that we want to find as much health in each of our patients and encourage that health as much as possible through lifestyle changes and through diet changes, exercise changes, things that we think will help patients feel better and actually do better in the life that they have at this point.
When we talk about geriatric medicine, at what age would that segment of our population begin?
Well, it becomes older and older. Some of us age, we don't like to think of ourselves as becoming geriatric. Technically, usually it is 65 and older.
I see. Now, it seems that changing any person's habit at any point in life is difficult, but certainly when you've had habits that have lasted for so many decades, it must be especially hard for those that are older to change their diet and their exercise routine. How do you go about doing that?
Well, you actually can do that with group visits, and that's one of the things that we are concentrating on, and that is bringing a group of patients together who may have similar problems or may have diverse problems, but sometimes that coming together and recognizing in some situations they're not as bad off as somebody else, or somebody else tells them that, oh yeah, that was a problem I had, but I started doing this and it really made a difference for me.
It's no secret that the American population is generally less than healthy. We have an obesity problem, and along with all kinds of other issues. When it comes to the elderly, are the vast majority of them unhealthy?
I would say no. I think what we're finding at this point is that a lot of people have gotten very busy in their life, and as they get to a place that they're older, they may be beginning to cut back on what they're doing as far as a work life. Some of them are still working part-time. Some of them, you know, are working full-time. But it is an issue of they come to a conclusion sometimes that if they really want to see their grandchildren age, they may need to do something about themselves to give themselves a little bit better life and a longer life.
I'm talking to Dr. Carol Monson. She is the acting chairperson of the Department of Family and Community Medicine at the Michigan State University College of Osteopathic Medicine. Dr. Monson, when it comes to drugs, I know that's a major part of the health or medical regimen of the elderly. Will that be something the department will be looking into? And are many of our older residents over-medicated?
I think that some people are over-medicated. I think there are a lot of people that don't understand that over-the-counter drugs also have effects on themselves. I think there are a lot of people that are mixing medications for their physical ailments from their doctors with other kinds of products that are over-the-counter that may be actually not very good interactions. There may be people who are going to different doctors, a specialist for this or a specialist for that, and taking medication that might be contraindicated with some of the other things that they're doing. That's why we feel that somebody in primary care, such as a geriatrician, gets involved and can begin to sort out if there are interactions that are occurring and whether someone is over-medicated.
Many of the elderly are on fixed incomes. How much of a factor are their finances and their ability to receive proper medical care and remain healthy?
Well, I think, you know, that's always an issue. But when we look at Medicare, one of the things that this program is looking at doing is being involved in settings with not just physicians, but with other interdisciplinary personnel, nursing, physicians, assistants, social workers, physical therapists, people that have a different role in the overall care. By doing that, I think we begin to decrease the cost in some situations, and we also look at the group visit as a way of decreasing the overall cost of whoever's involved in doing that group by having multiple people present.
If someone does change their lifestyle dramatically in their 60s, how much longer can they extend their lifespan by?
Well, generally, if you reach 65 and you've not had any major events, your likelihood of making it to 75 and 80 is much higher. If you make it to 75 and 80, your chances increase of making it to 100.
How about the families of elderly patients? How important is it that they're actively involved in their lives and medical and health issues? And are elderly without that kind of support in much greater danger?
Yes, they are. And quite frankly, again, going back to optimal aging, it takes into consideration both the body, the mind, and the spirit. And so, obviously, people who have a busy mind do better in terms of their overall health. People who have other people around them that care about them certainly are at an advantage. But part of the idea of bringing together groups of elderly patients is also support with people of their own age and having peers around them that they can interact with.
Finally, being healthy, of course, is the ideal, but sometimes things don't work out that well. When it comes to end-of-life services, is the state's medical system sufficiently addressing the issues for those who are nearing death and may want to have comfort rather than extending their suffering?
Well, I think it's important that in this concept of optimal aging, that you recognize when your quality of life is not to the place that you want it to be. Often families feel guilty about letting their elderly relatives go, whereas the elderly person then is kind of in a quandary saying, well, I really don't feel much like living anymore. But yet they feel pressure externally that they should stay around for a while longer. I think one of the things that is important is understanding when it may be time to give it up and just kind of ease out of life in a comfortable manner. And I think hospice care and what we're doing with palliative care in situations where we know someone is terminal is to make them as comfortable as possible and to support them spiritually as well as we can, but that we recognize that if that is what the patient wants is to go, that we cooperate with them and meet their wishes. We know at this point that the highest costs to Medicare are the last month of someone's life, trying to valiantly save them with every possible measure, or the last year of someone's life, where we're trying to intervene in a situation that we know is not going to really turn out well for this patient, so that if they understand that, if they are okay with that, that that begins to ease their body, their mind, and their spirit, and so what time they have left becomes more of quality.
Dr. Carol Monson. She is the acting chairperson of the Department of Family and Community Medicine at MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine, the college announcing that it will create a statewide division of geriatric medicine. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, sir.
And we will be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.